Legislation weakening public employee union collective bargaining rights rammed through the GOP-controlled Wisconsin legislature by Republican Governor Scott Walker was put on hold by a county judge in Madison who ruled that its passage may have violated the state's open meetings law, one of the strongest in the country. If the ruling is upheld, the legislature will have to vote on the bill again. Because one Republican legislator voted against the bill the first time, opponents hoped more Republicans will defect to defeat the measure, or that it may be modified in order to gain passage. Meanwhile, a group of professors from the University of Wisconsin System Women's Studies Consortium, representing women's studies programs on the state's campuses, published an open letter highlighting their concern that women will suffer disproportionately if the law goes into effect. While women make up just over half of the state's 175,000 public sector employees, they are concentrated in the lowest paying jobs, and they stand to lose the most if only wages are covered under collective bargaining and other issues such as family leave, health insurance, and sick days are no longer negotiable. Also, Governor Walker exempted police and firefighters, who are overwhelmingly male, from the law, thus skewing the gender imbalance even more. In addition to gutting collective bargaining, the law would also remove more than 300,000 people from Badger Care, the state's health insurance program, affecting mostly young and elderly women. Between the lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Glenda Jones, an assistant professor at the university's Stout campus in Menemone, who originated the letter. She discusses the response the letter generated and what's at stake, especially for women workers of color, if the anti-union law goes into effect.
We originally published it on Facebook and started sending out to our friends, started sending it to constituents, and different people sent it to newspapers, local newspapers. They took it down to a few hundred words to publish it as opinion op-ed pieces. So we just tried to get it out in every way that we could.
And what kind of response has it gotten?
Well, the UW Women's Studies program said that they've received more email trafficking on people that have read this and emailed them than any other thing in a long time. And they thought that that was very positive. Mostly, I think people are just interested in the fact that we're starting to talk about this. Honestly, we were a little bit hesitant as a group to sign it because many people felt that if you start making this an issue about women and take away the fact that it's an issue about people, that it would be easier for men maybe to start saying, well, this is really going to affect women more than it's going to affect me. And so far, people have been in solidarity and stood together on this. And there were even women within our group that said we really need to think about the implications of fracturing off before we start talking about how it will impact women specifically.
But you felt this was an important thing to raise, I guess.
Well, I did, because I feel like often women are silenced, and I'm really for the fact that men are now talking about solidarity and what unions have done for them. It's picking up steam even in academic areas that formerly people were against unions. But it's workers without a voice, and elderly people and young people and children that will be affected by Badger Care. So this is not just a union issue. It's not just about collective bargaining. It's not just about pay wages or increases in contributions to pensions. There are so many aspects to the bill that almost everyone is unilaterally hurt in some way that works for the public sector. Right now, we're just not sure exactly what rights are going to be lost. The bill itself is 144 pages, but as things start to get whittled away, it becomes, I think, more scary to people. Right now, it seems to be changing. We know that many of the Republican legislators were saying, you're not losing collective bargaining, but what they were meaning by that is you're not losing collective bargaining for wages. Many of the people that are going to be hurt the most are covered by collective bargaining now for many of these things. But there are other people that are not covered by collective bargaining. Many people that work for universities, for example, are already not represented by unions. And they were just starting to get a lot of unionization and vote for unions here in Wisconsin. So that's been very demoralizing to many people.
Glenda Jones, are you a member of a union?
UW-Stout just voted to be part of Wisconsin American Federation of Teachers, so Wisconsin AFT. And we just had the union card vote about 2 weeks ago, and it was a landslide.
And if you would just say a word about one of the points in your letter, that women of color will be even more disproportionately impacted than women overall.
I think one of the most surprising things to me as I did research about this is that 30% of the women of color in the state of Wisconsin live in poverty, and that's twice the national average. Wisconsin is already 45th out of 50 for women's working wages. They make 71 cents on the dollar, whereas the average is 77 cents throughout the rest of the U.S. Women of color make 63 cents to every dollar that a man makes. So they are going to be impacted even more. Obviously, as a, you know, an advocate for women, we feel that the workplace needs to be structured in a way where everyone, regardless of race, ethnicity, or gender, can receive a fair wage. And collective bargaining is the only way that that can be done. Joining a union can actually give women more benefits than perhaps getting a four-year degree. So there's some leverage and power that there is in a union to give people these kind of economic benefits. And women of color are going to be disproportionately impacted by this.
That was Glenda Jones, assistant professor and director of Women and Gender Studies Program at the University of Wisconsin at Stout. Read Glenda Jones' letter at the Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.